And this is what we have. It's a scam. It's a sham.
Hey, this is nuts. First of all, we gotta briefly touch on Trump, but then we gotta talk Tesla and oh my gosh, what is happening in the economy? I sense some massive, massive and dirty short selling. And we're gonna talk about some implications for this because it can be a little dirty, okay? So what does this mean? We'll talk about it. Let's get into it. First, Donald Trump. Wow. No matter whether you like Donald Trump or hate Donald Trump, you have to realize him going to the courthouse today, even though he didn't need to go to the courthouse today, is a perfect way for him to market himself again. That's the point. Every time Donald Trump goes to court or gets indicted or fights the system, his fundraising comes plowing in. It is a great marketing opportunity. And think about what he is defending. And this is why it's like double fact brilliance, and I know people who hate Donald Trump are going to get mad at me saying that, but from a marketing point of view, he is going to court to defend his brand. He is going to court to defend the value of his brand.
My best asset, which is the brand in terms of value, Coca-Cola, take a look at their value. They have a value. The value of their brand is more than everything else put together.
Yet the court or the prosecutors are trying to break down the value of his brand, A, through the actual case that they're presenting that he overvalued his properties, and B, potentially, or likely as many would say, through political persecution, which also potentially hurts his brand. But Donald Trump is saying, my brand is extremely valuable. How dare you try to break it down by weaponizing the political justice system? And B, who says what a brand is worth? This is much more than just a Donnie T case. This is really important for the future of America, this kind of case, because it says, is the value of a brand what somebody believes it is or what everybody else thinks it is? Think about that implication for a moment. You don't even have to go political to see, wow, that's actually a big deal. Donald Trump invoked it himself. He says, look, the value of Coca-Cola is its massive brand. It's a name recognition everywhere and the emotion that evokes. This case is not just about Donald Trump and his politics. And whether or not Donald Trump's legal disclaimer suggesting, hey, don't believe whatever I tell you, banks, if I say value of my property is $10 trillion, it is on you to do due diligence.
We have a clause in the contract which tells essentially, buyer beware. The contract is very, very, if you take a look and you speak to the banks, and you will, I hope you speak to the banks, because the banks got paid in full. I hope you speak to the banks. But we have a clause in the contract. It's like a buyer beware clause. It says, when you take a look at the financial statement, don't believe anything you read. This is up front.
And you know what? Trump supporters are going to tell you, yep, that's absolutely right. It is on the other business partner to, or the person, the counterparty, right? In this case, a lending bank, to do their own due diligence. And on the other side, the people who hate Trump, they say, come on, man, you got to make accurate disclosures. And then you get the realtors that are like, I mean, come on, like we tell our sellers when in doubt, disclose and disclose everything. But then we also tell our buyers, don't believe a word the seller says. Okay, come on, that's the business world, right? So it's like, what side of the fence do you sit on, right? Point is, it's fascinating to me from a brand, from like an entrepreneurial point of view to see what is now basically Donald Trump going to court to defend the value of his brand. It's not even about the case or the crime, this, that, or whatever. It's about defending the value of a brand, and they're trying to take down the value of his brand. While at the same time, the opposite is happening, right? That's the weird thing. So they're trying to lower the value of his brand, but by prosecuting him, the value of his brand is actually going up in the eyes of those who love him. It's all very, very interesting to me. Okay, Tesla and then this massive short that's going on, okay? And the short has nothing to do with Tesla. Look, quick thing, because I know people want me to talk about it, and like all of Tesla is like the Tesla community is kind of quiet about this, and I'm like, man, shut up. Well, you are shut up. Like, speak to the people, okay? It's the opposite of shut up. Speak on it. Yeah, Tesla missed deliveries. Honestly, at this point, if you're a Tesla investor at $250, you're not here for one quarter of deliveries. How do I know that? Because you've been stuck in the same place for the last 3 years, okay? 3 years, I kid you not. You might not believe it. You might not want to believe it. It might piss you off because it does me. But just type in Tesla stock into Google and then see that it's at $250. And then move your mouse over to 2020 when it was also around $250. It's kind of wild, okay? That's 3 years. It's a long time. My 8-year-old was 5. My 5-year-old was 2. I didn't know I was about to have twins. I'm about to have twins, by the way, which is pretty exciting. We're within about probably 4 weeks, maybe 3 weeks here. So, knock on wood. The longer it takes, the better. I think they're only 33 weeks cooked. And so I think we ideally want to cook them to at least 36. Twins tend to come by 36. The longer, the better. You know, 37, 38, great. Kids are already measuring larger than usual. But they're girls. Anyway, so moving on to, okay, well, let me finish on Tesla. Look, Tesla had expectations of 455 deliveries, 455,000. They delivered 435. But what's interesting is this is the first time in about 2 years that they've actually delivered more cars than they produced. They delivered about 435,000. They produced 430,000. Remember back like 2 years ago when that flip-flopped the other way? It's like, oh my gosh, Tesla's now making more than they're selling. Oh no, prices are going to have to come down. That's exactly what ended up happening to happen. Like prices did have to come down. So yeah, that did have to happen. That had to happen of the entire auto industry. So obviously that is a sign of a lack of PP, pricing power, right? But relative to the entire auto industry, there is no doubt that Tesla has the strongest pricing power. It's kind of like, who's the fastest racer out of a bunch of losers? Okay? Like, it's okay. They have relatively the best pricing power. And so then you have to ask yourself, okay, so how does that affect their long-term valuation? Because the reality is, nobody's investing in Tesla to be flat for 3 years, okay? People are investing in Tesla to make money. Well, personally, I think the prospects of Tesla making substantial money are ahead of us, not over the past 3 years. The past 3 years are fighting inflation, ramping factories, ramping new vehicles, ramping AI, ramping FSD. It's all sort of been in like you had the hopium phase of Tesla stock. Now you went through the hard work phase and we're still in the hard work phase. Oh, Tesla's now up 1337% over the past 5 years. Let's go. That's pretty leet. Oh, gamer talk. Anyway, so now, in my opinion, the true test for Tesla is ahead of us. What is the actual, and I'm not talking about reservations. Nobody gives a crap about reservations other than clickbait artists on Twitter. And then you know people like, Kevin, well, isn't that the pot cutting the kettle black? I mean, I think I give pretty darn good perspective inside my videos. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying, like, the difference on YouTube is you can have, like, a little sensational title. But then you get in, you get some, like, real content, real meat of the matter, right? That's what you want. You want to get the bottom line. That's kind of like what you get when you go to meetkevin.com and you're like, oh, wow, those crash courses are a really good value. That's the point. They're like 10 to 15 crash courses. I think we just added a couple. And all of these crash courses will be live by the end of the year, starting soon here. And really excited to get these crash courses out there. Some really good quality content coming. It's all new, by the way. None of the crash courses are remakes of the old stuff or chop-ups of the old stuff. It's all brand new. MeetKevin.com to learn more about that. But anyway, this is great for Tesla. In my opinion, the prospects for Tesla could never be better. The fact that it's flat for 3 years, in my opinion, I'm like, let's go. Like, now I can increase my allocation to this stock over 3 years, which is exactly what I've been doing. That's not financial advice for everyone, right? That's not saying you should either directly invest in Tesla or invest through an ETF for the potential tax benefits of that. You know, what you do ultimately is up to you. Yeah, I'm a financial advisor. Did pass my test, by the way, on Friday. That was, did my 65 last year, Series 7 2 weeks ago, Series 63 this Friday. Next up's the 24, so wish me luck. That's in 2 weeks from today. So, in my opinion, the real profit of Tesla is ahead of us, not behind. And you know where the profit is not? It's not in Lithium Americas. Lithium Americas is down today because, well, they are collecting $1 billion in debt. And people are like, oh, well, Lithium Americas, you know, I want to invest in lithium, so I'm going to allocate to Lithium Americas because obviously it's in the name, lithium. So they must make money from lithium, right? Wrong. Wrong. This morning we went through the earnings for this company. And, like, we basically had... I don't want to offend people, but I'm just going to do it because whatever. Okay, like, if on this side of the screen is what fraud is, and on this side of the screen over here is what legitimate company is, okay, this LIC so far appears to be on this side. It's not good. It's not good. Why do I say that? Massive loans to an Argentinian company, probably living in a fat, fancy mansion. $500 million of cash, but now taking on $1 billion worth of debt. Now, I realize that's going to offset, you know, it's going to increase the cash position they have as well. They're investing in some more mines or more loans to themselves. Who knows? But what you really want to pay attention to is the fact that this company doesn't make money. When you go to their income and expense statement, it's literally only an expense statement. There is no income. The only reason they had net income is because of a gain on a financial instrument measured at fair value. That's it. There's no income. Lithium Americas makes no money. They literally say in their disclosures, they make no money. It's right here. The company has not generated significant revenues from operations and has relied on equity and other financing to fund operations. There it is, June 30th, 2023, Lithium Americas Corp. Wow, who would have thought that your way to diversify into a lithium investment makes no money from lithium? No wonder the darn thing on a weekly basis is going straight down. It deserves to. Why the hell would I invest in this kind of garbage when I could invest in Tesla? You know, people are like, oh, but your other stock, Enphase, is in the toilet. Hell yeah, it's in the toilet. Hell yeah, it's getting smoked. You know, it's not the only other stock I got. You know, we like the other ones too. You know, whether it's the Intels or the AMDs, the NVIDIAs, the ASMLs, the TSMC, you know, it's great. I still think PayPal is a little undervalued. Probably a value trap, though. They hit that woke segment there for a moment. Boy, you touch that, it goes dark. Like, look what's happening to Disney. Of course, higher for longer rates is hurting the finances. But... Which we do, you know, going into a financial recession, it's very difficult to call the bottom in finance related stocks. But the point is, none of these companies are a Lithium Americas. Lithium Americas is a joke. Lithium Americas is an ad for come invest in lithium. Then we're going to lend money to our, you know, rich Argentinian mansion owner. I don't know if that's true. I'm speculating why all this money is going to Argentina. I'm speculating about it. I want to be clear. That is opinion. I don't know. I can't speak for fact. I can only show you what's on the actual earnings call and go, this is sus. Okay, so I showed you. No income from operations. That's sus. Okay, they've been around for years. Now they're raising another $1 billion. To what? Have more income from no operations? I don't know. I don't know. And I realize people are like, oh, but more lithium is being discovered. I'm like, I don't care. I want to see you extract it and then refine it, purify it, and sell it and make money. Whatever. Okay, so look, now we got to talk about this short selling problem because this is a complete disaster, okay? I smell something really fishy. So this weekend, the government passed its budget. Right? They passed the budget for 45 days. Biden signed it, whatever, okay? There's a bunch of nonsense and drama going on about somebody pulling the fire alarm minutes before the vote, and the Republicans are like, what the hell? Why would you do that? And AOC's like, he was in fear for his life. He's got to get out. How could you blame him? Okay, it's not exactly what she said. It was more like, he made an honest mistake. How could you want to kick him out of Congress? And the Republicans are like, really? Really, you just happen to push the emergency exit door right before the vote, and then, you know, you lawyer up as soon as you get asked for questions? You know, it's the Republican point of view. Who cares? It's all nonsense. But what would you expect would happen after the government passes a budget? I would legitimately ask you this. What do you think would happen or should happen, okay, to Treasury bonds? Let me draw this, okay, because I just don't think it'll be as impactful if I don't draw it, because we have to understand this fully so everybody can get it, okay? Because it's just not that hard, okay? Let's say you have this little pretty little box right here, okay? And I put like a bow on it. There we go. A box with a bow. See, look, it's like a Christmas gift, okay? What do you think would happen if I told you inside of that box was government risk, okay? Government risk was in that box. When government risk goes up, the value of this box should go down, right? This makes sense. So what happens when the government doesn't default and actually passes a budget? Yes, I realize it's only for 45 days, but buys themselves more time. Are you creating more risk in that box or less risk? It should be obvious. You're creating less risk. So the value of this box should go up. Well, when the value of this box goes up, treasury yields go down because of the inverse relationship of how this works. So anyway, we agree. Value of box should go up, right? What's actually happening? Well, what's actually happening is the complete opposite. Markets are selling off the value of that box, and treasury yields are skyrocketing. That's sus. That's really sus. It's weird. It shouldn't work that way. And I know some people are like, well, the bond market knows all. And so the bond market, Kevin, they were just pricing in that Congress was going to pass a 45-day kick the can down the road bill anyway, because they always do this kind of stuff. So come on, Kevin, the bond market was already pricing it in. And I'm like, you're smoking crack. Bond market didn't know that. Everybody was pissing themselves last week that we're going to have a government shutdown over the weekend. And then the question was, how much is it going to hit GDP? It's going to be 5 basis points over 10 days. It's going to be 5 basis points over a week. It's going to be 10 basis points over a week. And everybody's coming up with all these estimates. Bull frickin' crap. Everybody knew, you know, we're going to kick the can down the road. Of course, like you and I knew that because that's what always happens. But the market was still freaking out. So the point is, we would have expected treasury yields to go down. I think we could all agree with that, okay? We expect the treasury yields to go down. And what the hell just happened? The 10-year is up at almost 4.69. It's actually at 4.676, but close enough. It's up 10 basis points today. Yields in Germany are up. Yields in Japan are up. And then you think, oh, well, maybe it's just a steepener, right? Well, then you go look at the 2-year treasury, which is also up 7 basis points. Yes, that means the inverted yield curve is actually steepening by 3 basis points. If you don't even know what I just said in the last 20 seconds, it really doesn't matter. The point is, this is the opposite of what should be happening. Okay? Government passes budget. Fed is near or at a peak. Risk to treasuries are down. Yet bond prices plummet. Okay? This smells like, you know what it smells like? It smells like the smelly smell of massive short selling. There is a massive short going on in the treasury market. Why? Because it's been extremely profitable. And yeah, maybe I'm a little pissy that TMF is going straight freaking down. And that's true, okay? I bought this instrument at the blue line. I'm getting screwed. Your boy Kevin just lost lots of money. Okay, I didn't put that much money on it, okay? But point is, I put some money on this right there. It was like slightly below the blue line. I'm like, yes, we're going to put somewhere around here. Anyway, I'm going to put some money in here. It was like, yeah, that's right. It was like 570. Yeah, there it is. It's slightly below the blue line. 570 is somewhere around there. Okay, now it's 457. Damn it. This right here is a bull bond ETF. This right here says that bond prices should go up. Obviously, it's not happening. They're going down. Why? Well, because I believe there's massive short, and I'm not trying to pull like an AMC or GME here or whatever. I just think this is the case. Look at this. This is a month chart, okay? This is the month view of TMF, okay? That's every one of these sticks, folks, is 1 month, okay? Not a week, not a day, 1 month. It has been the most profitable short you could have had, quite frankly, since the end of 2020. You could just straight up shorted bonds and you would have made money all throughout my campaign for governor, made money. Well, I guess for a little period of time there, you would have lost money. But if you just diamond handed, we would have made money. You see volume on TMF is going up dramatically because people realize, okay, maybe there's an opportunity here to actually go long. The problem is this one's triple leveraged, very risky instrument. You really shouldn't touch it. It's dangerous. But anyway, point is, I think what you have is a massive amount of short selling in treasuries. And I think, I mean, play this out for a moment. If everyone who's an institution shorts treasuries, well, they make money in the short term because that's the trend. The trend is your friend, right? But then guess what you do? You end up breaking something. And then when you break something, maybe all your other shorts pay off. But once something breaks, That's the odds are where everybody goes, okay, now something broke. Now the Federal Reserve is probably going to come in and lower rates potentially. And then guess what happens? All the shorts cover and then they go long. I see this happening. I see this happening. This is literally what's going to happen. Okay, here we are, October 2nd. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. Something's going to hit the fan if the short selling keeps going on. After something hits the fan, it's not that that breaking is going to be so bad. It's that all the short sellers are going to go, oh, we pushed this far enough. Then we go long. And then after we go long, what ends up happening after we go long? Well, after we go long, all of a sudden, treasury yields plummet. Absolutely plummet. Straight down. They're taking the staircase up. They will take the elevator straight down. Fast. So, enjoy high rates for a little while and enjoy the opportunity maybe to go buy some real estate. Because I think this there's going to be quite a little bit of pain here very, very soon. So anyway, thank you so much. Really appreciate y'all. And we'll see you in the next one. Hope you like the Bottom Line Report. Check out the crash courses at meetkevin.com.
Why not advertise these things that you told us here? I feel like nobody else knows about this.
We'll try a little advertising and see how it goes.
Congratulations, man. You have done so much. People love you. People look up to you.
Kevin Paffrath there, financial analyst and YouTuber. Meet Kevin. Always great to get your take.